Cool.
Hey, Side Pocket.
Yep, so I'm Evil Stop, eh? And yes, I should learn by now that I should never say that I'm going to be on the 18th floor for 15 minutes because then everyone and security pulls me around everywhere.
Yep.
I'm here now. Is there headphones or is this one like...
So we need to go and buy a better piece of hardware to do headphones. So right now we just kind of have to deal.
Is it possible to plug my existing ones in or is that...
Nika, do you know?
Wait, what?
I don't
he
need
has
them,
headphones.
But I do, if that works. If not, I'll just go without.
I don't think
we have headphones. Think we have enough plugs,
okay.
Right?
That's perfectly fine.
Sadly.
As I kill myself with Vegemite.
Do you want to try some Vegemite?
Sure. Believe it or not, I've actually never tried it. So this is going to be a first experience here. I've heard a lot of things about it.
I would recommend not a lot. It's very
I figured.
A little bit. Yeah,
so just finger dip?
Just finger dip. That's fine. It's probably fine.
Tastes like New Jersey. Yeah, I was there this morning. Tastes like New Jersey.
Tastes like New Jersey. They should put that on the packaging. Vegemite.
That should be
tastes
on our license
like
plate.
New Jersey. New Jersey tastes like Vegemite?
Or, like, New Jersey, lick us and you know Australia.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we're doing this again this year.
We are.
Yes. Love you guys here. How's the machine going? I heard there was a little bit of a thing, but I guess it's...
We're okay. Everything's
cool.
Okay. We're on the air.
Every
level looks happy.
Every hope something goes wrong, and we figured out pretty quickly what this year is going to be. This year is the year that all of our screens broke. That's what we're calling it.
He's one of the people who I said that to just check down at 1:30 to see if refs are shooting the crap, because I could do that now if you guys want. I mean, you guys could still be here.
Sure. Yeah. Let's have a chat.
Yeah. You want to
grab a chair? Yeah. That should probably be on, I think.
The thing about Radio Settler is, you know, we're all flexible for all the right and wrong reasons.
Get close to that microphone and say test.
Test.
Oh.
Glorious.
Beautiful.
Glorious.
That's a beautiful voice.
Finally, someone experienced.
Okay, so what is your name?
My name's Nathan Proctor.
All right, Nathan. What brings you to Radio Stoutland today?
Yeah, I run the Right to Repair campaign for USPIRG, which is a national nonprofit.
Yep. Oh,
you guys just did a talk earlier.
We did just do a talk earlier.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we... thank you. Yeah, we're really happy to present about what's going on with Right to Repair here at Hope, and you know, he's excited to have a lot going on in our campaign to give you the ability to fix your own stuff.
Mm. It's a very important sort of topic. Now, is this your first time here? Have you been?
Yeah, this is my first time at Hope.
What's your impression so far, besides madness?
I think it's really lovely how you don't sweat the details. But we had a little bit of a problem with my, you know, just getting set up to do the, you know, the slides for the presentation, and it was kind of both freeing and terrifying to, you know, go in and be in front of, I don't know, a couple hundred people and not have your slides and set up. And
funny quick aside, so I was talking with them in the hallway before you guys talked was on, and you guys thought the hallway was your entire, we're going to have like 20, 30 like people with some of the people in the room, and then they heard, because I had the hard time, they're like, the line starts all the way down where I can't pronounce this, Vong Hun is for the Right to Repair, and they were like, no.
Well, the way they have the lights set up in the room, you really can't tell how many people are in the room. So I felt like I was just talking to myself. It was wonderful. Yes. Wasn't nervous at all.
So why should people, I'm going to pretend to be stupid dumb here, why should people know how to repair their own electronics? Why not just go to the Apple store and have them overcharge you as usual?
Because they overcharge you? No. So companies have gotten really, really aggressive in making the stuff that they give us impossible to service by anyone except for the manufacturer. Mm. And they really have a goal of completely controlling the life cycle of the products that we buy. Mm-hmm. So they decide how long it lasts, mm-hmm. how to support it. When things break, they decide how much they want to charge to fix it, if they want to fix it, mm-hmm. how it can be fixed. And they do all of that to have complete control of the life cycle mm-hmm. of the product and to deprive us from the ability to kind of, you know, make choices for ourselves mm-hmm. That may not be to the benefit of their shareholders about mm-hmm. what to do with our stuff. And so the Right to Repair says they have to give us the parts, the tools, the schematics, technical information, the diagnostics, and access to the firmware so that we can repair everything that we have. We keep it going if we want to.
And, and the crazy part, too, is not only are we just using computers more than ever before, but thanks to IoT, it's not just what we think traditionally as computers or tablets. It's, like, everything now.
Yeah. I mean, people are having problems, right, where, like, the software will no longer be supported on your refrigerator. And so now your refrigerator, which is basically just a regular fridge with, like, a touchscreen display stuck onto it.
You play Doom on.
Yeah, but it's not supported anymore. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine getting a notice that your refrigerator software is no longer supported, and your perfectly functioning fridge will be deactivated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We tolerate that for other devices, and we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a moment of that on my own. I bought a PA system, a speaker setup, and in each one of the speakers now is a full Linux computer. So when I bought the things, the first thing I had to do was do a firmware update on a speaker. Mm-hmm. And what do you do when you just want a speaker to play music? You don't necessarily care about software.
We, like, can't buy things without computers in them anymore. Yeah. I mean, my parents recently bought a house. They moved to upstate New York, and they kind of downsized. And they had, there was like a little electric stove in the house, and it was like from the 60s, and they wanted to get a nicer one. Mm-hmm. And the realtor basically said, do not replace this product. It will never break, and if it ever does, it'll be super cheap to fix. Yeah. But the modern equipment just isn't made to last. And I think, I mean, part of the reason why they're so aggressively putting software into everything that we own is so that they can more effectively control the life cycle. They can make these products obsolete whenever they want.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm glad has recently been talked about now, because I have friends down in the Pineys and in rural Pennsylvania, is how this is affecting things like farm equipment.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We shared a little bit about the kind of fight with John Deere. So in one of the first kind of stories that really broke the right to repair movement out was what John Deere is doing with their farm equipment. Essentially, they put digital locks on the operation of the equipment. So if you get the farm, the tractor equivalent of a check engine light, it will deactivate the operations of the tractor. And sometimes these are like $500,000-$600,000 combines.
Right.
You know, you've leveraged, it's like the value of, more than the value of your home in this device. And John Deere deactivates it for having some problem, and the only way to get it going again is to plug an official authorized John Deere service software into the tractor, which is ridiculous. And farmers in Nebraska started hiring Ukrainian hackers, like, on the dark web and BitTorrenting cracked versions of the dealership software from John Deere so that they could bypass those digital locks and they could fix their own tractors. And actually, the Librarian of Congress granted an exemption to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which legalized the hacking of your own tractor equipment because it's yours and you should be able to do that.
Right.
But the problem is, almost immediately after that exemption was given to these farmers, John Deere changed their user license agreements and made it a violation of your end user license agreement to modify the software in any way, which we don't think that those end user license agreements is really stand up anyway, but we desperately need some clarification in the law that says we have the right to fix our stuff, and you have to give us the tools and information we need to make that happen.
So if I may, again, first of all, I'm still getting overwhelmed how much I just realized the Vegemite is way better than the Club Mate. So if you weren't convinced before, we should have the right to repair and essentially own our own devices. I mean, it's even when you look at the scope of capitalism, we paid for it, therefore we should own it. And as you said, you're part of that movement, and I feel like it's being especially very recently drumming up and going strong. What sort of techniques and ways are you guys reaching out and combating these efforts and getting the word out for people who otherwise would not know that they have these potential rights that they could fight for to do this?
Yeah, I mean, our main avenue for making progress right now is we're trying to pass state bills that would require companies give you access to the parts, tools, information, diagnostics, and firmware for all the stuff that we own. And we this start, we had five bills in 2017, and so far in 2018, we've had 18 active state bills across the country. So this thing is kind of exploding, and you know, it's driven in large part by these kind of large scale, you know, snafus by big companies. I would say we got a huge boost to our campaign when Batterygate happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're familiar with Batterygate, I can give you the 2-second summary. Apple issued a software update that slowed down the processors on their phones to make mm-hmm. them run slower if it detected that the battery was, you know, somewhat diminished, which of course batteries constantly diminish. That's
right. That's,
you know,
the
they're
point.
Disposable.
Yeah. They're a disposable resource. Yeah.
And so people suddenly had a phone slowdown. This happened in, you know, December, yep. you know, a few weeks before Christmas, and just after they had you know, unveiled a new poorly selling smartphone. And so people were quite upset mm-hmm. at this particular tactic that Apple used software to slow down their phone instead of just, you know, maybe alerting them that they needed a battery swap. And so they, in exchange for that, they offered $29 battery replacement service at the Apple Store, which is a pretty good value.
Yep.
It's cheaper than most places can do it. But the immediate problem was that they had like 4 or 5 month wait lists.
I was about to say the waiting right. time to Apple stores.
Right, yeah. And we did some off-the-cuff calculation. There's, you know, a couple million iPhone 5s and 6s in America. Mm-hmm. And if you just sat down all Apple Store employees and they did nothing but swap out batteries on phones,
yep.
it would take them 5 or 6 years
mm-hmm. yeah.
to do all the batteries in affected phones. Mm-hmm. So they cannot repair our devices. And they won't let us do it. And I think that those two factors have really, a lot of people have experienced this very phenomenon with their own stuff. And so when we go in and start advocating for these policies, we're starting to get more traction, both in the public and then also with lawmakers.
So what's the status of legislation at this point?
So far this year, we've timed out in a lot of the places. We ran out of time in the session.
Right.
New Jersey's still active.
Yes.
Fans. We got some New Jersey
Pardon
fans
screaming
in here.
About that. Yeah, DEFCON 201. Yeah,
yeah,
like, for real.
I think they'll probably the timing for a New Jersey hearing would be in the fall. So if people want to help us, yeah, counter the ridiculous arguments from these tech companies that somehow giving us what we need to fix our stuff, we'll make our stuff like hacked. Essentially, they equate the two things.
Right.
That would be helpful. And then then we have to kind of reboot for, you know, 2019, but we're getting bigger. We're going to have even more than 18 bills in 2019. We're going to grow to another bunch of states. It's going to be pretty hard for these tech companies to plug all the holes that we're starting to spring.
Right.
Speaking of New Jersey, is there any particular states or regions you want to shout out to having the best policy so far, and inversely, which ones have the worst?
Well, really, every state is in the same boat.
Mm.
So, you know, what we think is going to happen is if one state passes a right to repair bill, then pretty soon that there's going to be a lot of pressure on companies to basically make that a national policy. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what happened with automotive right to repair. Mm-hmm. So in 2012, Massachusetts voters passed a ballot measure, 86 to 14, so it wasn't particularly close, to allow independent mechanics to have the same access to information and firmware as the dealerships do. Mm-hmm. And before that policy actually like went into effect in Massachusetts, the auto manufacturers had agreed to a national mm-hmm. right to repair for all states.
My dad's an auto mechanic for over 50 years, and I remember that's when he really paid attention to the big tech news, because that was a big deal for him. Because before that, like, he's kind of laughing that here I am plugging this car's memory into diagnostics, and like depending on where he goes, he could be seen as like criminal for that, depending on what model.
I mean, that's one of the problems. So the DMCA has a 5-year penalty for distributing software used to circumvent their digital locks. We're finding that mostly the courts will uphold your right to break the lock yourself. Mm-hmm. To fix something, because this is kind of built into law, deep into law, that you have the right to fix stuff. Mm-hmm. But by giving these huge penalties for the distributing the tools to break the locks, these companies have gone a pretty long way into blocking access to kind of fair and reasonable repair service.
Right.
Yeah, and it's terrible, because in certain cases, it might be a life or death situation.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Right.
question. So you guys are active now. What do you see as the roadmap in the immediate and potentially far future for the right to repair movement?
Yeah. Well, I would say we're focused on these state bills to give us access to the, you know, five things I think we need to fix our stuff. But that's not the whole picture. So hopefully we'll get laws in place so that we get access to the software, the parts and tools, firmware and diagnostics to fix our stuff. But then we need to fix the DMCA. Mm-hmm. We need to clarify that these tools that are used to manage digital rights are not being used to basically redefine ownership. These companies, John Deere actually testified in their resistance to these farmers hacking their products that the farmers did not own the tractors. Mm-hmm. That what they were operating under was an implied user license, mm-hmm. that John Deere owned the tractor. And so I think we need to clarify that in federal law, like that's not true. When you transfer ownership to the new owner, that person owns the thing, and that includes the firmware and the hardware and the software that thing runs. You can't distribute it, you can't copy it and sell it to anyone, but you own it, and you can modify it if you want.
Amen. Yep. Before I potentially ask some more questions, I don't know, do we have IRC running? If so, are there any questions for our right to repair guests right now?
So right now, we have an IRC and Slack bridge. Mm-hmm. So anything that people say on IRC will show up in Slack, and anything people type in Slack shows up on IRC, which is pretty handy.
Awesome.
And right now, it seems that it's relatively quiet. Nobody has any terribly pressing questions.
For everyone out there listening, if you do have a question and you are in our chat rooms, please do not be afraid to ask questions about anyone who has it on air. In fact, we always look forward to those every year, no matter how hilarious they get sometimes.
IRC is a great way to keep in touch with us. Mm-hmm. So feel free to ask.
Do you guys have any other things before I start blabbing on or...
No, I mean, this has been a huge problem that has gone through multiple industries, right? Like it's
gone on for far too long,
and it's been forever. Yeah, I mean, the DMCA has been around for a while. These problems have been in the DMCA from the beginning, and we've been fighting these problems since it came out. So
that, I feel like a lot of that has to do with both a combination of adoption and also the digital divide, even though we still have one, kind of shortening. Because as you said, I remember everyone complaining about this in like 1996 on bulletin boards systems, on web bulletin board systems. And like a lot of people I often talk to, they're like, oh, right to repair, that's like 3-4 years ago. And I'm like, no, this has been going on. It's just a lot of people are, since we have so many devices in everyone's hands and it's ubiquitous everywhere, now this is really becoming fruition where it's hit mass market.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I think is important to realize is that the chances of passing a new copyright law in Congress, given everything else that, you know, all the other issues you have doing anything in Congress, and the amount of power that the OEMs can exert is really daunting. And so the thing that I think that makes right to repair so exciting is it gives us a chance to address a lot of these issues without having to go through a federal lawmaking process. We can get, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever testified in the state of New Hampshire, but it reminds you what democracy is, right? Because they have basically a volunteer legislature. They get paid $100 and they get a metal locker. Mm-hmm. Nobody spends any money on their campaigns. No one's throwing money at these people. And you go in and you sit down and you have a real conversation about what the law is and what the implications are. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that some state will be able to do something that completely shakes the kind of behavior that's cropped up from the DMCA in a way that we don't really have a chance to do in Congress. And so, I'm pretty hopeful that in the next 1 or 2 years, some state will pass some version of digital right to repair.
So I'm going to potentially ask, in terms of American climate right now, what could be considered a stupid question, but do we have any potential or current allies in politics for this, or is it just a giant desert?
Yeah, no, there are some people in Congress who ideologically despise the current way it's handled.
Do you know of any...
the person who put forward the bill that was, looked like it had the best shot was a representative called Blake Farenthold, who had a... Your listeners can Google his Me Too scandal. But, you know, so, yes, we no longer are counting on his being able to shepherd a bill through the halls of Congress. I think he's gone now.
Tragic.
Yeah, there are some other people who share... There have been some other bills. Cell phone unlocking happened pretty quick. When we got that basically is the right to take your cell phone and transfer it between different service providers. But so, I mean, we know that there's some support for these things, but it's just the manufacturers are really wired deeply into how business is done in Congress.
Yes. And right. Just a quick side story for me. It's about a minute long that I can bring up about how ubiquitous this sort of stuff is. A couple of years ago, I used to work for the Bergen County Courthouse. And my coworker legit could not tell the difference between a computer monitor and an eggplant. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's not just against him. That was just so how I would always do the tech tasks for him and work with the IT team. And one day he was in the office, and he was on a website that I've seen where he was successfully following their instructions to root his phone. Mm-hmm. And I was actually talking. I asked him, like, why? And basically, he was so frustrated with the manufacturer, which I've heard of the phones, that he couldn't do it. So here's a person who, like, would not even think twice about computers, and he barely thought of his smartphone, but it literally got into his way of life so much that he essentially ended up becoming a, quote, black hat hacker on purpose just to get some decent functionality of just his smartphone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, I mean, I think this kind of comes into the worldview mm-hmm. of the right to repair movement and how it kind of interacts with, you know, the ethos of the HOPE conference. Like, people are really resourceful.
Oh, yes.
And if you give them, like, reasonable instructions and, you know, and what they need to fix something, like, they come up with really good solutions. And, you know, I think we have, there's something fundamentally broken about building a society where only a couple people identify and solve the problems.
Right. Mm.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and because the masses define problems differently than Apple. Like, Apple keeps on making these phones, you know, like, with the face recognition and all these
right.
goofy things. It's like, not like, if people were to design their own functionality, they would, like, they would just make the batteries last forever.
Oh, yeah.
And they would, you know, and they wouldn't make them, like, pencil thin so that they, you know, it's,
and they wouldn't make them so you could defeat the facial right. recognition with wet towels.
It's I mean, I think we should democratize our technology, and I think Right to Repair is an enormous tool to do that. People should fix problems as they define them without some external force, be it the government or a corporation, telling them, you know, to define that for them, because that's when you're going to get the real solutions to the real problems that we have as, like, a species, which are kind of extreme problems.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and there's, in every instance where I can think of a very vibrant repair ethos, so automotive work, that kind of thing. Those are all areas that have extraordinarily resilient communities built up around doing repairs and mods. And ultimately, fundamentally, I think building communities is extraordinarily helpful in society.
Yeah, and then you think also that all the technological advances we have now, like what environment did Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and those guys grow up in? They grew up in a world where you could take your computer apart and modify it and do whatever right. you want, and then they figured out how to make the things better and faster and more efficient.
How to sell it.
Yeah. Those are probably other people that did most of that, but they certainly enjoyed that process. It's like, I think we're shortcutting and, you know, selling short, like, the capacity, our capacity to, like, come up with technologies that will solve problems that we have,
right.
like...
Yep. Definitely.
Alzheimer's or cancer or climate change or, you know, the plastic piling up in the oceans, or, you know, if we don't have the access to the best tools that, you know, that humanity has to offer.
And the democratizing technology is, like, that's the most hopey thing so far I've heard been said. No, it's perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. Want to do two quick questions if I'm allowed to. Just to rewind back a little bit, when you talk about, for example, figuring out the battery gate, have you heard of the stories of how people end up finding out that those things happen? Is it hackers? Is it just random people stumbling on this? Like, what would you say the
In the case of the Apple battery gate, there was a technician in the UK who...
Figures.
Who came up with a speed test and ran a processor test, swapped the battery, had a theory that this is what was happening, swapped the battery, ran the test again, and came back with a much faster processor, and posited
that... That's a hack.
Yep. So...
Yes. And then quick off of that, so UK... This probably is too big of a question. What does it look like in terms of right to repair globally? Is there anything you could do for other countries? Is there any countries we could look to as like a beacon of hope? Is there countries we should avoid becoming like?
It's funny. They look to us for the right to repair stuff.
Really?
I've had calls from, you know, people who are working in Europe and in other parts of the world about being inspired by the right to repair movement. I think in part because... it casts a wide net, so like, you know, we have this quirky coalition of do-it-yourselfers and technology people and farmers and, you know, regular consumers, and it doesn't feel like a niche thing. We've worked hard to kind of make the appeal really broad, and some of the issues we're addressing, you know, eco-design, sustainability, and things like that, which tend to be hard to kind of convince people that these are really substantial issues that they should care about. So I would say, but then I also would want to give a shout out to Australia, because they have a
Vegemite.
Strong...
Would you like some Vegemite?
I think I'm cool without Vegemite.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm a Vegemite atheist.
I want to try it.
Don't. If he says no means
I'm
no.
I'm joking. We're big at consent about
hope. No Vegemite
means no. Just remind, big consent about hope. So that was just a joke. Oh. I apologize in advance. Continue, sir.
So the Australian court just issued a fine against Apple for Error 53.
Yeah.
Yes. Listeners probably know the Error 53 story, but in case you don't, Apple used a software update to deactivate people's phones if the phone detected that they had independent screen repair done on the phone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's such a rare thing that someone would crack their iPhone glass and need
right.
to get it
Unheard
fixed.
Of.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, how dare they?
They deactivated people's phones, and then when people took the phone to Apple to get service, Apple said, I'm sorry, we can't service it. You've had it independently repaired, which... In Australia, much as it is in this country, it is illegal it's Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, it is illegal to void warranty coverage for independent repair. Of course, companies routinely do this, regularly do this.
Oh, yeah.
You guys could probably just pick a manufacturer, get their live chat person on the computer, ask that person if you had a repair done independently, if they would void the warranty, and you can find out for yourself whether or not they're instructing their people to violate your consumer
rights. Those don't mod stickers that recently hit everyone alone. Yeah.
Right. The FTC just ruled against six companies for their void warranty if removed stickers they put on their devices as basically totally illegal under... So anyway, the Australian court went a little bit farther than issue warnings. They fined Apple for Error 53 in Australia. And so, shout out to our friends down under for taking Apple down. $6.7 million
if
for a company worth $962 billion. I'm sure we'll really set them back.
Slap on
And then the last thing from me so far is that. So, as you said, it's your first hope.
Yes.
Thank you for coming here.
I'm
hope
glad
you
to
enjoy
be here.
The whole thing. Yes, especially at Radio Statler in our little cardboard foam tube thing. That's we always call home here.
There's no cardboard involved.
They don't know that. It's radio. just joking. But so my question is that I'm going to be asking a lot of people this. It's okay if you don't have an answer. What are you looking forward to being here at Hope? And my only requirement is that it can't be food or sleep, because that's what we're all dreaming of.
I love people who can do things.
I'm going to leave now.
I think you've come to the right place.
who are capable of seeing problems and coming up with solutions. Those are my favorite kind of people to talk to.
Yeah. I think you'll find a couple of them here.
Yeah.
I think that's almost the definition of a hacker, at least in my book.
Hmm.
I'm beginning to see that those two things are connected. But there's always more solutions than we use and more problems than we should tolerate. And I like people who share that ethic.
I love that. I feel like Radio Statler, we come up, our guests always come up with the most quotable things just for our radio. Well, on this chat, do you have any questions, anything from IRC, anything you two want to add? Or?
Well, the one thing that I would probably want to say is there any, if people are interested in finding more information for...
Can I ask that?
Right to Repair, how to get involved if they are so inclined. How would they do that?
So if you want to, well, first of all, you should follow me on Twitter, because I'm a great Twitter follow, at nproctor, N-P-R-O-C-T-O-R. You can go to usberg.org, which is my organization. And then repair.org is the repair association, the kind of coalition of advocates and activists working on all these campaigns all over the country. So there's a ton of information at repair.org. And then iFixit is kind of like our other kind of part of our coalition. So if you live in a state with an active right to repair bill and you go on iFixit, it'll pop up a little thing and tell you how you can get involved. Or you could find that information on repair.org.
No. Awesome. Well, again, thank you. It was an honor for you to have here, sir. We're actually shaking hands on the radio here.
Yep. And you can't see it, but we promise it's happening.
Yes. That'll be a lot today. And enjoy the rest of the con. Yeah, thank you for coming on Radio Statler here and giving us this awesome chat.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
All right. See you guys
later. Have a great day.
Yes.